Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. Today we're up to chapter 13 for your daily dose of Tolstoy. As usual, the podcast will start with me reading the chapter that we're up to, and then that will be followed by a discussion and an unpacking of the chapter. If you want to skip the reading and go straight to the discussion, have a look at the description and you'll find a timestamp for where the discussion starts. Alright, let's have a look at this here. This is Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace, Book 1, Chapter 13. When Natasha ran out of the drawing room, she only went as far as the conservatory. There she paused and stood listening to the conversation in the drawing room, waiting for Boris to come out. She was already growing impatient and stamped her foot, ready to cry at his not coming at once, when she heard the young man's discreet steps approaching neither quickly nor slowly. At this, Natasha dashed swiftly among the flower tubs and hid there. Boris paused in the middle of the room, looked around, brushed a little dust from the sleeve of his uniform, and, going up to a mirror, examined his handsome face. Natasha, very still, peered out from her ambush, waiting to see what he would do. He stood a little while before the glass, smiled, and walked towards the door. Natasha was about to call him, but changed her mind. "Let him look for me," thought she. Hardly had Boris gone than Sonya, flushed in tears and muttering angrily, came in at the other door. Natasha checked her first impulse to run out to her, and remained in her hiding place, watching, as under an invisible cap, to see what went on in the world. She was experiencing a new and peculiar pleasure. Sonya, muttering to herself, kept looking around towards the drawing-room door. It opened and Nicholas came in. "Sonya, what is the matter with you? How can you?" said he, running up to her. "It's nothing, nothing. Leave me alone," sobbed Sonya. "Ah, I know what it is." "Well, if you do, so much the better, and you can go back to her." "Sonya, look here. How can you torture me and yourself like that, for a mere fancy?" said Nicholas, taking her hand. Sonya did not pull it away, and left off crying. Natasha, not stirring and scarcely breathing, watched from her ambush with sparkling eyes. "What will happen now?" thought she. "Sonya, what is anyone in the world to me? You alone are everything," said Nicholas, "and I will prove it to you." "I don't like you to talk like that." "Well, then I won't. Only forgive me, Sonya." He drew her to him and kissed her. "Oh, how nice," thought Natasha. And when Sonya and Nicholas had gone out of the conservatory, she followed and called Boris to her. "Boris, come here," said she with a sly and significant look. "I have something to tell you. Here, here." And she led him into the conservatory, to the place among the tubs where she had been hiding. Boris followed her, smiling. "What is the something?" he asked. She grew confused, glanced around the room, and seeing the doll she had thrown down on one of the tubs, picked it up. "Kiss the doll," said she. Boris looked attentively and kindly at her eager face, but did not reply. "Don't you want to?" "Well then, come here," said she, and went further in among the plants and threw down the doll. "Closer, closer," she whispered. She caught the young officer by his cuffs, and a look of solemnity and fear appeared on her flushed face. "And me? Would you like to kiss me?" she whispered, almost inaudibly, glancing up at him from under her brows, smiling and almost crying from excitement. Boris blushed. "How funny you are," he said, bending down to her and blushing still more. But he waited and did nothing. Suddenly she jumped up onto a tub to be higher than he, embraced him so that both her slender bare arms clasped him above his neck, and, tossing back her hair, kissed him full on the lips. Then she slipped down among the flower pots on the other side of the tubs and stood, hanging her head. "Natasha," he said, "you know that I love you, but..." "You are in love with me," Natasha broke in. "Yes, I am, but please, don't let us do like that. In another 4 years, then I will ask for your hand." Natasha considered. 13, 14, 15, 16, she counted on her slender little fingers. All right, then it's settled. A smile of joy and satisfaction lit up her eager face. Settled, replied Boris. Forever, said the little girl, till death itself. She took his arm and, with a happy face, went with him into the adjoining sitting room. All right, there we have it. So it turns out that not only is Natasha cheeky, she's also a bit sneaky, hiding there amongst the flowers and spying on Sonia and Nikolai. So Nikolai's brief little flirt with Julie Kuragina has made Sonia, his cousin, a little bit jealous. In the previous chapter, Sonia stormed out of the room and Nikolai followed her, and now in this chapter we get to see what happened after he followed her. So Sonia's jealous, but Nikolai quickly sort of makes amends, and then he gives her a kiss. Little Natasha, though, only 13 years old, she sees this kiss from her hiding spot, and after they leave, she decides that she wants to try that out for herself. And so she calls Boris Drubotskaya. He comes into the room to find her, and she gives him a kiss. There was a bit of discussion on the subreddit page about Natasha's motivation behind this kiss. And Reddit user Rusifi said, without knowing really anything substantial about Natasha's character, I didn't get the impression that she acted out of jealousy. More so youthful envy, and that she wants to be an adult, like the older members of her family. I remember being very envious of my sister's flirtations and plays at adulthood when she was 15, while I was an awkward 12-year-old. I didn't feel competitive so much as eager to be more like her and experience an exciting adult relationship. I think that was my impression too. It seemed that Natasha just wanted to do what the big kids were doing. It's difficult to tell as yet if Natasha is genuinely smitten with Boris or if she was just trying to do what she saw Nikolai and Sonia doing. There was also some question around whether the last question that Natasha asks in this chapter was an act of foreshadowing by the author. Natasha makes Boris admit that he loves her and makes him agree that they'll eventually be together. The last question she asks, which actually goes unanswered, is, forever, said the little girl, till death itself. And then it goes on to say, she took his arm and with a happy face went with him into the adjoining sitting room. It does seem a little ominous that there's no answer to that question. And on that topic, Reddit user Sonic Vroom said, Tolstoy may have dropped that line to keep us on our toes, reminded of the book's reputation. So far, there's been only parties with joyous atmospheres stained by unconventional youths. Reader beware the hardship ahead. Resident War and Peace expert Brian E. Denton said, most of the main characters have been introduced now, though we still need to meet the rest of the Bolkonski family. Further, the characters have been introduced in their natural social setting with no great conflict, so Tolstoy has given us their personality baselines. Pierre, inquisitive and bumbling and earnest and sincere and awkward. Prince Andrei, stern, highly intelligent and extremely burdened by his intelligence, with a kind of hyper-masculine sensitivity. Natasha, impulsive, vivacious, youthful. Nikolai, quick-tempered, hot-headed, smart, but not in control of himself. Boris, vain, self-centered. Part of the greatness of this book is seeing how these characters learn and grow from this baseline. Redditor Joyce Haddo said, here's something that I noticed which may or may not be of interest. Helena has so far said a total of 8 words in this book. Twice, in chapter 4, she said to her father, Papa, we'll be late. And that's the extent of her dialogue so far. That's it. Sonic Vroom replied, she's fun at parties. To which Brian A. Denton replied, oh man, this becomes so true later on. She's definitely fun at parties. So it seems we're getting close to the point where we've been introduced to all the major players of the book. Personally, I wonder if we'll ever get to meet Napoleon Bonaparte in this novel. The copy of the book that I have has a picture of Napoleon on the very front cover, and I think I just assumed that he'd be a character in the book. But now I'm starting to wonder if maybe he's not actually in the book. He's just this sort of symbol, this otherworldly figure that has so much impact on the characters' lives, but is so far removed from them as well. I also received a nice message from Redditor Monkey Zen, which I'll read to you now. They said, I just wanted to say thank you for taking this on. I sincerely appreciate it. I'm quite pleasantly surprised at how readable War and Peace has been. I bought a good copy online last year, and then proceeded to read a dozen or so other books while eyeing off the large tome. Mr. Tolstoy and I had a bit of a standoff going on, and it would have continued had I not stumbled across this subreddit and then your podcast. The names are confusing and difficult to pronounce, and the history is not familiar to me, but both of these issues are addressed in your podcast in a way that helps to put the story in perspective. The story itself flows so well, and the way the characters relate to each other is so familiar feeling that I am amazed at how real it seems. It could take place in any time in history. Again, thank you. Monkey Zen. You know, I had almost the exact same experience. I've had this copy of War and Peace sitting in my bookcase for a few years now. And if it weren't for this subreddit, it probably would have sat there for a few years more. Thanks very much for taking the time to write in, Monkey Zen. I really appreciate it. You know, I can see on the podcast's statistics that about 130 people are listening every day, which I think is really awesome. But it's not very often that someone will take the time to write in and let me know that they're enjoying it. So that's a real morale booster, and I appreciate it very much. I designed this podcast so that it would enhance the experience of the Reddit users doing the A Year of War and Peace challenge, but also so that someone who wasn't on Reddit and wasn't part of that could ride along with it just via the podcast. I'm interested to see if the listeners would agree that that would be the case, and if it would be something that they would recommend to someone who wasn't on Reddit, but was just interested in literature, or they might enjoy a audiobook podcast of this nature. All right, I think that's going to do us for today. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.